From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. True to form, March is coming in like a lion at the state capitol. Today marks day 25 of 40 of the session, and we're less than a week away from crossover day. That's the do-or-die time that bills pass at least one chamber and then move into the other. Here to give us a rundown of the week in politics is our own legislative lion, GPB Politics reporter Stephen Fowler.
Good morning. Just don't expect me to roar.
I'm glad you didn't. Let's start with the House Speaker, David Ralston, also a defense attorney, by the way, and he is in some hot water for allegedly abusing his position as a lawmaker. This is in connection to some of his legal cases. Now, even members of his own Republican Party are circulating a resolution calling for him to resign. Stephen, what are the details of the allegations?
So this stems from an investigation that the AJC and WSB did into some of Speaker Ralston's cases, and that he filed continuances for these cases, saying that they need to be postponed and going forward because of work that he had to do. And in some of these cases, since he's a defense attorney, some of the people are accused of things like DUI, child enticement, you know, not good things. And these trials haven't happened, or some of these cases haven't been resolved for years in some cases because of these continuances.
All right, so let's hear Speaker Ralston giving his side of the story on the House floor. This was from Monday.
I have an obligation not to dismiss their concerns, but to be mindful that the consent of the governed is a vital block in the foundation of our government.
What's he saying there?
So it's a law called legislative leave, and there Speaker Ralston is referring to members of the public and other people that have had questions about this. So the law says that anyone who's in the General Assembly, the House and the Senate, who is a lawyer, can ask for cases to be continued or postponed while the legislature is in session through 3 weeks after adjournment. But there was another provision added a few years back that it's for any sort of legislative duties or things that somebody has to do. Now, a lawmaker who's here from January to April maybe wouldn't have much reason in June or July, but the speaker works year-round with his staff on different legislative things. So basically year-round, he has been asking for these continuances over the course of 2 years. Now, the speaker says that he's going to put together a commission, maybe as soon as today, a bipartisan group of lawyers and lawmakers and other people involved with the legal system to examine how other states do this to figure out how Georgia's law maybe needs to be tweaked, because he says he hasn't done anything wrong or unethical, but perception is reality, and a lot of people have questions about some of these cases that have been brought to light.
And these have been lingering for a long time. This is not the first ethics complaint against Ralston. The state Supreme Court investigated accusations against him for violating bar rules. This was back in 2014. He was reprimanded by the bar for those charges in 2017. He then backed a constitutional amendment remaking the watchdog agency that oversees the judiciary that ended up diminishing, really, the power of the Georgia bar. But so far, Ralston has flexed enough power to keep these ethics complaints from sticking. How about now?
Well, the resolution was filed by Republican Representative David Clark of Buford, and others have signed on, about nine others, so it's not an overwhelming majority. So the resolution's not going to go anywhere to call for the speaker to resign. He says he's not going anywhere. And Representative Clark is going to be one of those people putting his name into the hat to run for Georgia's 7th congressional district. So it's being dismissed as kind of a campaign stunt by Ralston and others. But the bigger picture here are these questions, these ethics complaints, and these other things. A lot of people in the House, both Republican and Democrat, support David Ralston and his leadership and what's going on. So I won't see, you won't see him resigning or going away anytime soon. And the larger question of ethics complaints and things about the state house and the Senate, it's very hard for someone to file a complaint and for it to stick. You see in the state Senate this session them making the rules harder for somebody to file complaints of sexual harassment against senators. So the legislature is, you know, it's not rife necessarily with people acting unethically, but it does make it difficult to make something stick and make something happen.
In those cases, those charges are made. All right, so let's get to what did happen and got accomplished. Governor Kemp's Medicaid waiver plan passed in the Senate, now in the House. It's called the Patients First Act, and this would allow the governor to seek waivers from Medicaid and the Affordable Care Act. passed along party lines in the Senate. What's the concern for opponents and Democrats?
Well, the Democrats want full Medicaid expansion. They say that it's cheaper, it covers more Georgians, and it's the answer to put insurance cards in the pockets of more people to get reliable health care. But as I've mentioned before, on the flip side, many Republicans who are on Health and Human Services Committee and other places say that Medicaid is a broken system that isn't working for providers and isn't working for Georgians who are on it. So expanding Medicaid willy-nilly without addressing some of the issues with the system might mean people have insurance cards, but no doctors that they're able to go see and no doctors that take it. So this waiver process is the way for the governor to look at targeted areas of expansion, maybe whether it's mental health or maternal mortality or things like that, to grow the pool of people covered without, you know, just opening the floodgates for everything.
All right. Is this likely to pass the House?
Well, the House and the Senate, you know, the House and the Senate are two very different chambers in, you know, how they do things, but also how the allegiances lie. Really, the biggest thing in the Capitol isn't Republican versus Democrat. It's House versus Senate. There are also a lot more members in the House who have a lot more opinions about both the governor and Medicaid and health plans and things. And so this is not going to be one of those bills that everyone pushes the yes button as soon as it comes up for a discussion. So that remains to be seen.
Well, we're getting a little bit of an update on what's going on under the Gold Dome with GPB politics reporter Stephen Fowler. This week, the House did pass a bill that would allow hemp farming in Georgia. 41 states already allow this. What kind of regulations are in place to grow hemp for farmers in Georgia?
So one of the things it does is it creates these 10 processing licenses for farmers or companies or bigger entities to take hemp and turn it into usable stuff. And then there's another category of licenses for growers that farmers can pay. I believe it's $1,000 a year for anyone to be able to grow it. Now, industrial hemp can be used for things like clothing and construction materials and a lot of different things. Other people are interested in it because of the CBD oil in it, which is used for some health reasons and things, and it has a very low THC level. So hemp is not the same as marijuana, or as one Republican representative said in a committee meeting, you could smoke a truckload of it and it's not going to do anything for you. So part of this hemp growing bill and part of this legislative process has been educating the public, the lawmakers, and members of the media the difference between hemp and marijuana.
And so we seem to work.
Right. So what we're not going to have is the fields of South Georgia being marijuana grow fields or things like that. Industrial hemp, a lot of people say there's a lot of economic benefits to farmers being able to add that into the rotation.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see what's going on in committee. The Senate Transportation Committee narrowly approved a bill this week that would give the state control of Atlanta's airport. Now, Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottom called it theft from citizens.
And it doesn't serve Atlantans nor Georgia well for us to go down this path. The state and the city of Atlanta have had a very good working and productive relationship over the past several years. And if this goes through, this unilaterally destroys the trust that so much time has been spent building.
So what's her opposition? Why so controversial?
Well, so this is, I spoke with the mayor on Wednesday earlier this week when this committee meeting was getting ready to happen, and the city of Atlanta and the mayor is just going all out in opposition to this bill. You know, she mentioned it was a theft from the citizens of the city of Atlanta, and she called multiple reporters and multiple outlets, and that is her line, that this is a theft. So what this would do would create this Georgia Airport Authority that would oversee the Atlanta airport and move it out from under the city of Atlanta. And the senators that filed it and others think that, you know, they've read news reports about problems with vendors and bidding and contracts at the airport and corruption allegations. And they think the state can do it better. But the mayor says the state has shown no evidence it can do things better. She says there's FAA rules that say that the city would have to be okay with that for the state to do it, which they're not. And that really this would be taking resources and taking this crown jewel from the city and giving it to this statewide bureaucracy for no reason. So There's not necessarily any indication that this would make it to the governor's desk, but the mayor and other city leaders are putting on a full court press to make sure that it doesn't even remotely get there.
Okay, and out at the city of Atlanta, Georgia farmers and others still recovering from the devastation of Hurricane Michael. There's a bill in the U.S. Congress that would provide billions in storm relief for our state and others. Here is Georgia Agriculture Commissioner Gary Black.
But there are a significant number of crops in Georgia. Fresh vegetables, $483 million of loss there. $750 million worth of loss in timber. $600 million worth of loss in pecan.
How would this federal money be used to assist Georgia farmers?
Well, so the crops and things that Commissioner Black mentioned are outside of the typical crops that you would think of in Georgia, like peanuts and cotton. And so he said there's never really been a disaster plan for those before. So this federal money, if it comes, would be some sort of block grant for the state to kind of figure out how to use it and the federal government to figure out how to use it to get those farmers and get those benefits that are outside of what we have experience with dealing with before in disaster recovery. So really, it's just a big question mark. But Georgia senators sponsored that act. And, you know, the governor was just in Washington, D.C., trying to lobby for it to get those farmers the money they need.
All right. Got a comment here on Twitter. Steve Brown says, I guess it's a matter of who do you trust the most, the state or the city of Atlanta regarding the airport? Most citizens don't trust either of them. So full court press or not, you get an uphill battle to convince the public. All right, Stephen, Bill, that you a process that you've been following especially closely, overhauling Georgia's elections and voting system. If passed, the Secretary of State would put a bill in out. Would put out a request for new ballot marking devices that create a paper trail. So what did the House have to say about that this week?
Well, the House is still in Republican control, and the House voted for it. There were two Democrats that voted for it and one Republican that voted against it. But the House still had the larger debate and discussion about we need hand-marked paper ballots and not ballot-marking devices. They talked about the cost and the different things like that. And so it's more of the same conversation that we've been having, but now it goes to the state Senate. And the state Senate subcommittee on elections heard the voting bill yesterday. They heard from people over several hours, and it's more of the same discussion. There's a group of citizens that want hand-marked paper ballots. Elections officials who run the elections say they want ballot-marking devices, and the Secretary of State says, you know, ballot-marking devices are the way to go.
So not expecting significant changes to the bill in the Senate?
Not so far.
All right. You also sat down this yesterday with Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger to talk about the bill and his time in office. Here's just a clip of him talking about working with the county elections officials.
We don't want to become a top-down ogre like sometimes the federal government is to Georgia, but we want to make sure that we're helping our, you know, friends out there at the county level.
So what's he saying about the bill's progress?
Well, so one of the things is that we have new voting machines that are going to come in, and that's going to require training, and it's going to require training of county elections officials who run things and the volunteer poll workers who help run things on the ground level. So he wants to make sure that the new system, whatever it is understood by everyone in Georgians and understood by the people running things, so there are no questions about how our election system works in the future elections. And then there's the election law part of it. It makes it easier for people to vote, makes the absentee ballot process easier. So his big thing is this bill would make voting different in Georgia, but it would make it easier and better for all involved. Now, not everyone agrees with that, but that's his stance, and that's what this bill's process, which is why there's hours and hours of hearings, so that everyone can feel like their voice is being heard in the process. And you can hear that full interview with him on Monday.
Okay, so likelihood that March is going out like a lamb, a little low right now. But next Thursday is crossover day. That's when bills have to be clear of at least one chamber in order to become law. So it's a big day. GPB TV's State House reporter Donna Lowry is going to be there with you. It's on Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. Be right back after a short break.